WLFE DB Radio.
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website, metalmayhemroc.com. Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
And now, welcome tonight's host, John the Vernomatic Verno.
Good evening, everybody. I'm the Vernomatic, and welcome to this week's show. As always, Thursday nights, brand new content drops. Visit the Metal Mayhem ROC.com website. There you'll find past episodes. Do us a favor, download a few, tell us what you think, subscribe, review. That kind of stuff always helps the bottom line. Sign up for our email newsletter. There you'll receive weekly updates on brand new shows. You'll get alerts for our Monday night live radio show, which I host on thatmetalstation.com. And it's just a way for us to stay in touch with you concerning, you know, free giveaways or merch giveaways. Tonight, we're doing two feature interviews. Two up-and-coming bands are releasing new material. I have Marcus Bryant from the band Spirit Adrift on. They're releasing a brand new EP tomorrow called Forge Your Future. It's a 3-song release. Marcus is here to tell us about what the band's been up to, how they wrote this, why they wrote this, and just general plans for the fall of 21. The second feature interview we have tonight is with the band Enforcer. Now, Enforcer has been around since 2008. And they are part of that new wave of traditional heavy metal movement that's been gaining momentum in the last 10 years. Lead guitarist and singer Olaf Wickstrand is with us. He'll tell us about their brand new single, Kiss of Death. And we touch on the live CD DVD package that came out in the spring called Live by Fire 2. These are two great bands from different parts of the world. One's Arizona in the States, and one's Sweden over in Europe. So that's what we have for you tonight. But let's get things started. From the brand new EP, Forge Your Future, Spirit Adrift, I'm the Vernomatic. This is Metal Mayhem ROC. So I have a return guest to Metal Mayhem ROC from Arizona, Marcus Bryant, drummer of Spirit Adrift. Marcus, welcome back to Metal Mayhem ROC. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back. How you doing out there in Rochester?
Good. We got a little taste of your weather. It's about 90 and humid, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No 115s like you guys get over in the desert, but it'll be snowing soon enough. So, last fall, we had a chance to visit, and we were covering the Enlightened in Eternity album, but Exciting things going on. Tomorrow, you guys are releasing the new three-song EP, Forge Your Future. Let's touch base on this. Is it a COVID release, or is it just following the same trend you've had with the EPs in the last 2 or 3 years?
It's just, we can't sit still for too long. Nate's always writing songs, like I've mentioned before. So it was just, he had songs he was demoing all through COVID. Just, we're keeping busy. And he trimmed it down to three songs that he liked best. We got together and got those things recorded. So, yeah, it's just a kind of a picking up where Enlightened left off, We're just wanting to put three more songs out there. And this is our first exclusive release with Century Media as well, this EP. So that's exciting.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Looking at the lineup, some new guys in the band, Preston Bryant and Sonny DiCarlo, taking over for Eric and Chase. What's that all about?
Well, we decided a while back there was just like, we and Gatekeeper were both, getting busier and busier. So it was, best to like break the bands apart, and we're still all family. So all that's good there. And so we took my brother Preston, who had been playing synth on the last few albums. So he came in, he's playing guitar now live. And then we got Sonny in, and I've played in bands with him here in Phoenix. And he's running bass duties, and that's actually where I'm coming back from. Him and I just got finished jamming the live set for the shows this October.
Well, let's talk about the new one, Forge Your Future.
Yeah.
Definitely when I heard the new music, it's like, it's Spirit Adrift now.
Oh, awesome.
Is it because Nate's getting more prolific as a songwriter and a music writer, or does Zeus, the mixer, have anything to do with this? How? What can you attribute the Spirit Adrift sound to?
I can attribute it to, obviously the mix has something to do with the final product, and Zeus knocked it out of the park. I'm just blown away by the work he did on this EP. I would attribute most of the sound, to Nate's songwriting, to Nate's, Nate, like I mentioned, never stops working. He never stops growing and pushing himself as a songwriter, as a guitarist, as a singer. And I think most importantly, he draws from, and we draw from, such a big pool of influences, that it allows for, I think, like a natural progression, a natural evolution of a sound. And Nate bases, he writes what's in his heart, and it's real. His lyrics are drawn from real life experiences. So I think the fact that it's coming from a real place, it's coming from an authentic place. I mean, he's just really fine tuning himself as a songwriter. It's brilliant. I always get so excited when he sends demos over my way, and then I always have to call him and be like, dude, holy shit, this sounds amazing. This is great.
Last time we spoke, you talked about the writing arrangement that you guys had organically developed of him sending you files, and then you're able to mix something up, if you will, and you're really excited about that process. Mm-hmm. Is that how it did it continue into the new EP?
Yes. Yeah. Nate demos everything out of his house in Texas. Outside of Austin there.
Mm-hmm.
And sends it over to me, and now to, to Preston and Sonny as well. We just throw it in a Dropbox, and then we just start talking, we start texting, we start learning parts. It's such an efficient method. It's really great. I love it still, simply.
So let's pick it off from last December we spoke, and the pandemic was about 6-7 months in, and no one knew what was the touring landscape. How have things changed? Now, you do have dates on the books, some New York dates, Phoenix, and then Europe dates. A three-part question. How did that develop, and is it going to happen, and what kind of tour is this?
We're not even considering this a tour as much as we're doing one show here in Phoenix, on the 18th of October. And then we're flying out to New York. We're doing those pair of shows with High on Fire. So that's something. I mean, we're dying like everyone else. We're dying to play live. Everyone's trying to tour this fall. So we were looking at it from the perspective of, we're not going to try and do a full blown tour. Let's do a handful of shows. We'll get this EP out. You know, we got some other stuff behind the scenes that we're always working on. So it's really just to get out there. We need another release. We need to play shows. You know, it's a really weird thing to be like in a band working, seeing some success and some momentum, and then just be, you know, hit by this pandemic and all of us go on pause. I mean, there are far worse problems in the world, and we realize our position there. But yeah, this is just something. I mean, we're hungry for this stuff. But now it's looking like, with the Delta variant, is it going to happen? Are all these, like, there's still a lot of uncertainty out there. I mean, we're really hopeful it happens. You know, the New York shows, I think I read New York City, is it the whole state? Is New York City's requiring proof of vaccination to go into shows and restaurants and whatnot?
These dates you have, is it a dual, quote, headline with High on Fire, or is it an opening slot, or it's...
We're direct support. I think that's how I saw it, you know? Mm-hmm. Dual headline would be good, but, you know, it's not... We're playing, you know, a shorter set than they are, so we're just direct support.
Marcus, where could people find all your information? Just straight up spiritadrift.com and Facebook?
Yep, we got spiritadrift.com with links to everything from there. And yeah, we're active on Instagram and Facebook, getting all the different social media things going. But yeah, spiritadrift.com, Instagram, Facebook, those are the easiest places to see what's going on with us.
So the new 3-song EP is Forge Your Future. There's a couple videos out, the title track. It's a lyric video, and then the new second video for Wake Up, which is a little humorous. It's a little not-so-serious side of Spirit Adrift. Well, Marcus, best of luck. Again, we'll be supporting you up here at Metal Mayhem ROC. And you know what? We'll hopefully things will loosen up, and we'll get you up here to Rochester.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd love to come up there and play.
Yeah, you know, we're metalheads up here, and we get out and see our bands. So,
very cool.
Anything you want to say before I let you get going?
Hey, just keep supporting one another. Keep supporting live music and the arts, and, you know, just try to be good to one another, right?
That's right. All right, Marcus, best of luck and stay safe.
Hey, thank you so much. You too.
Okay, talk soon. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Attention metalheads, we all want to return to concert venues soon. Introducing Metal Mayhem ROC Metal Forever Freedom X Sanitizer. This sanitizer product is water and foam based, manufactured with proprietary HYIQ solution. That's right, no alcohol, but more effective. Manufactured following FDA sanitizer monograph guidelines. It applies smooth without irritating the skin. Safe for all ages. Keep your friends and family safe with Metal Mayhem ROC's own sanitizer. Visit MetalMayhemROC.com or metalforever.com to order your bottles now. Use promo code METAL at the Freedom X checkout store for a show discount. Now, back to Metal Mayhem ROC.
So, continuing our profile tonight on up-and-coming bands in the States and worldwide, we have Olaf Wickstrand of the band Enforcer. Band has a new album or a new single out called Kiss of Death. Olaf, welcome to Metal Mayhem ROC.
Well, thank you very much. I'm happy to be on.
So where are you located right now? Are you in Sweden?
I'm in Sweden right now. I'm in my hometown where my brother and I are running a small little studio thing here, working on new music mostly, yeah.
Thank you for joining us tonight. You know, everyone's busy, and when I did the math on the time difference, I know how I am at 10 o'clock at night. So again, I appreciate you taking the time.
No worries. I've actually been, spending a couple of weeks in the Caribbean. So I came back just a few days ago. So I'm still like a little bit on your time zone.
So let's get everyone up to speed on Enforcer. And you could help me you could be my fact checker. Band's about 15 years old. First release was Into the Night in 2008, and you've been consistently putting out kick-ass albums every two or three years. And the last one was 2019 Zenith. Tell us about the start of the band.
I mean, I think that the idea for the band origins in the dark 90s and early 2000s, when we're a bunch of people from around here growing up on classic metal, more or less. And at that time, there were just like, there was nothing like that in the entire world. Eventually, I've been playing with different black and death metal bands before, and we used to like do covers for like classic metal covers, and I always found those songs to be more energetic and more fun to play. So the idea to start the band came from playing in these other bands, and said and done, I worked out this concept sometime in 2004-2005, wrote a couple of songs and put it out online. And got kind of like a good following quite quickly. So that's where the idea came from in the first place. Go against all trends and do what I thought was cool at that time.
Now let's mention some of those early influences. You're going back to the traditional legends of metal, the Priests and the Maiden. That's where you're getting your motivation from.
I mean, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Saxon, Venom, Merciful Fate, Diamond Head, stuff like that.
Well, you know what, Olaf, we're separated by many miles, but we're cut from the same cloth, because that's the soundtrack of a lot of us metalheads.
That's the foundation of everything, man.
So it looks like, is it safe to say this was your brainchild? Because doing show research and getting really back into the band, you were handling a lot of the, playing a lot of the instruments, the guitar, bass, drums in the early days. Was that just in the studio? Did you record all those parts on that, that first Into the Night album?
Well, in the very beginning, it was like more or less my solo studio band. But once we got offered shows and stuff like that, I put a band together. And since that, we've been more or less like a consistent band.
And it looks like your brother, Jonas, he's been with you since basically the beginning, pretty much.
Yeah. Like the foundation of the band have always evolved around my brother and I, and then we had a lot of members coming and going, and but mostly like people that we've been growing up with here in our hometown, but also some other people.
So the first one's 2008. 2010, you release an album called Diamonds.
Yeah.
Was it basically record, tour, and do that two-year cycle?
I mean, when we released our first album, we didn't really have any stable booking situation or any stable tour situation. It was more like for fun back then. But I would say that 2010 album, Diamonds, like kicked off that, the way, it made it possible for us to take it to the next level, where we actually could. That enabled us to write the record, go on tour, play a lot of shows, go back home, write another album, go on tour, that type of lifestyle. In the beginning, it was different, that there wasn't much commercial interest for the band and stuff like that. But I think it grew quite a lot with the second album.
When did it become a full-time gig and you were able to support yourself?
It's always been a full-time gig, more or less, even though sometimes you make money from it and sometimes you don't. But I mean, I still spend 100% of my wake time like doing this anyway. So,
well, no, what I was really getting at, was it your main financial?
Oh, well, it's not my main financial like thing. It's really hard to make like a decent live enough of music these days, where people don't really are getting used to not paying for music anymore. So but I mean, that's always been the normal for me, so I never kind of expected to make a grandiose living out of playing rock and roll music.
Well, so you put out the first three albums, and then something exciting happened. You released a live album DVD called Live by Fire. I saw direct comparisons to some of the 70s and 80s bands where they would release their first three albums, then they would have a live album. Like Kiss did it, Iron Maiden, Rush, Judas Priest. Was that the thinking behind the band to try to, you know, chapterize your career to that point?
Yeah, kind of, but also like, you know, the songs grow with you playing a lot of shows, you know, and I thought that, you know, after a while, I think that the songs were still great, but we could just like perform them so much better. And to like immortalize a certain era of the band by recording it. So that's also like something that I would, the reason why we've done like live albums to like capture the era of the band in a way that's as good as it possibly could get with video and with audio.
When you did that Live by Fire, there were some unreleased tracks or new tracks, if you will. What was the thinking behind that?
I think the idea was just to like make it sellable, to make it, you know, to make the entire product something that our fans would like to actually spend money on, because like producing this type of album video, it costs a lot of money. So we somehow had to like finance it, and a way where we could finance it was to release new music together with this, you know.
How did it do? Did it achieve what you're looking for it to do?
I can't remember. But I mean, live records never get the same attention that studio albums do. So it was just like, it was a nice way to like immortalize the era of the band.
Oh, sure. It helped me get into the band, and
oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was a great learning tool. So 2015, the band releases my favorite album from you guys. I respect all of it, and we'll get to Zenith because that's underrated, but From Beyond, excellent release. The sequencing of the album, I feel is, yeah, hit it spot on. It's just one of those just press play releases. Olaf, you have a fan in Jarvis Letherby. We had a chance to catch up with Jarvis talking about the Cirith Ungol and the Night Demon projects, and he couldn't say enough kind words and a lot of enthusiasm for your live performance. What kind of touring did you do for From Beyond? Was your touring possibilities augmented with this new wave of traditional heavy metal movement that was going on in the mid 2010 or 2010s?
Can't remember how many shows we did on that album tour, but that was probably the most extensive touring that we've been ever doing, which was a lot of fun, first of all. But it was great to come out to so many different places. I think we played in like 40 different countries or something like that. We did two North American tours, two or three European tours. We were in Asia, we were in South America, we were like everywhere.
We're talking with Olaf Wickstrand of Enforcer. Kiss of Death, new single released at the beginning of the summer. Now, when the Zenith album came out in 2019, it was a little bit of a departure, but I think people don't understand, or this is my take on it, is it's one of those albums where you really just have to sit down and listen to it a few times in its entirety, and it's something that really grasps you. So congratulations on the Zenith album.
Thank you.
You released a Live by Fire 2 DVD this past spring, which was taken from the Zenith tour, and it contained music from all the albums, but now this time From Beyond's on there and a lot of the Zenith tracks. What brought you to Mexico City to do that? And where, through all your thinking, did you decide to do another live DVD CD package?
I think, I mean, it's like 2019 or 2020 when we released this. It was already 8 years since we released the previous one. And I think we've developed a lot, like as musicians and songwriters. And I think that we also released our two best albums, so which we also wanted to immortalize. And it was just like we just got this opportunity to play in Mexico City, and I figured it would be a cool opportunity to take to record the show and to both audio and video. And it was like a cool thing to do.
One thing I noticed about it is the, how do I say this? The spontaneity of the production. There weren't a lot of like fake cutaways. You may have edited, but you could see videographers on the stage shooting the bass player. Then all of a sudden, the next cut, you see that bass player actually playing that song. Very captivating piece of video. Did you control the vision of the project?
I mean, what I wanted to do with this was not to do another live video. I wanted to do something that was interesting all the time and to like really look for those like pictures that made sense in every part of every song. And I wanted it to look like an hour and a half long music video with the same intensity and not only like random cuts from random cameras. It's been a lot of thought behind how that is done. So we did the audio first and then we edited the video on top of the audio, you know. So that was kind of reverse situation there. But I think we got it really well, and I think it really captures a vibe that I don't see in any other live videos, you know, that I've seen, at least with this kind of limited budgets that we have in comparison to the huge bands.
Yeah, the huge bands. Well, that led me to my next thought, was it was a smaller venue, but Olaf, it looked like, you know, you guys were playing, you know, Rock in Rio. The crowd was into it. It was the B-roll of the people up in the front row. Talk about continuity. You saw them at the beginning of the show, and then you saw them like three quarters of the way through the show, the people up front, and they're all sweaty, and they're, you know, they're getting just as much exhausted with the band throughout the set. It was those were part of the things that I got out of it that kept me there watching it. And I really felt like it was a concert, and I was with you throughout the whole show. So again, props to you guys.
Thanks. And that was a lot of the idea behind it, was, like I said, to not do just another video, but do something that really captured the vibe of being there.
Let's touch on the Kiss of Death single. You just wanted to put a single out to get your name out there again? Or is this a new way of marketing the band?
I don't know. You know, there's no new way. I mean, because like the music business and especially the rock business have been working the same for so many years now. So I don't think anyone have figured out how to really work with like with music or rock music in this new era of music, the digital music era that we're living in right now. But we noticed very clearly that people don't really listen to albums anymore, both from watching streams, stream numbers, and also like talking to people. It's like just a general thought that people don't really care so much about albums anymore, but they do care about songs. And songs get like sometimes the songs can get as much like exposure as an entire like a full album would give you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can spend three years writing and perfecting an album, and people still only listen to one song. So then, as an artist, it gives you like the like makes you question what you're doing. You know, you know if you can spend just, you know, if you just release one song and get the exposure from that. And I think that's kind of the ambitions that we will have in the future with the band. Eventually it will be another album, but you know, I don't want to stress with recording 10 songs and like and be in the studio extremely intensive to do 10 songs. And, you know, it's just like, I just want to focus on each and every song and release it when I feel ready to release them. And yeah, I have no stress, you know? So I think that's the approach that we're going to have, not to not to release them the songs so quickly after each other, but I think next song will perhaps come out in a month and a half, maybe in October, and then we'll take it from there.
We actually caught up with James Rivera of Hellstar.
Yeah,
that's what they did with their last release of Clad in Black.
Yeah,
it was released two tracks in September, and then something else came out in February. Then the rest was coming out at the end of August. So it's like you're getting three bits of releases in a one-year period, and it's keeping the band in the forefront and in people's minds. Because you're right, the attention span is just it's getting shorter every single day.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. It's like people the attention span is just ridiculous. I mean, it's like when we started out, when we released our first couple of albums, you could like be in the talks for at least 6 months from releasing an album. That period have been reduced to 2 weeks now when you release an album.
Yeah, and it gets released and then it's gone. And it's, well, it's the swipe right generation.
Exactly. We have a use and throw away kind of attitude towards music is what, you know. I mean, and I mean, for us, I mean, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like your streaming numbers are more important for you as a band than the record sales. That says more these days, you know. So I'm happy if people stream our music on platforms where it can't, that like the streams can be counted for.
Mm-hmm. Olaf, we have a fun segment on Metal Mayhem ROC called the Mount Rushmore of Metal.
Many have tried, most have failed, only a few survived. This is the Mount Rushmore of Metal.
Now, this is a fun little segment we do where we talk to our guests and we like to get their quick on the spot answers to some questions. So, Olaf Wickstrand of Enforcer, I'm going to ask you, what is your Mount Rushmore top four metal bands of all time?
Metallica, Europe, Judas Priest, Scorpions.
Okay, those are four great answers. I'm going to go in on this. Which era of Scorpions?
I don't know. I like all the eras. 70s is like... that has a special place, of course, but also the 80s. Now it's impossible to say. I like all of it, but in a different way.
Of course. Here's a little fun fact. Metallica recorded Kill 'Em All in my hometown.
Yeah, I know. I think we were looking for the studio when we were in Rochester a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I actually conducted a interview with the second with the guy that was second chair on Kill 'Em All, and he was the Andrew Robleski was his name. And at the time he was a 21-year-old audio engineer student at the Eastman School of Music. And he was actually the guy that did the bass solo take one.
That's cool. You got some history.
Yeah, a lot of history. Yeah. You know how the band came up here. So there are you working on a new album in air quotes, or you're always writing? Are you recording?
We have this summer we recorded drums on 11 tracks. How it's going to be released, we don't know yet, but I'm working on one song at a time, I think. And right now we have like two songs in the pipeline, which we expect to be like the next two singles.
When do you think those will see the light of day? Christmas time?
No, probably before that. I think a digital release takes like 4 or 5 weeks to set up. So as soon as I feel 100% confident with one of the songs, we're going to set up a digital release. Probably one in October and one in December. I think that's the plan.
Oh, beautiful. And all those socials, best way for the listeners to follow Enforcer?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Spotify, Apple Music, but also Instagram and Facebook.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, again, the single is Kiss of Death. Olaf, thanks for taking the time to catch up, and we'll do everything we can over here at Metal Mayhem to spread the word of Enforcer.
We sincerely appreciate that.
Okay, sir. Enjoy your evening and stay safe and healthy.
Thanks, man. You too. Bye.
Bye.
for life.
Thanks for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our websites at metalmayhemroc.com and metalforever.com for information on upcoming concerts, podcasts, archives, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. Catch us next time on WLFE-DB Radio.